This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Thursday, March 28, 2013. I'm Caleb Brown. Oral arguments before the Supreme Court on gay marriage continued yesterday, but on a wholly different aspect of the issue. What is the constitutional federal role in defining marriage? Cato Senior Fellow in Constitutional Studies Ilya Shapiro attended oral arguments. We spoke yesterday.
Today was DOMA in one particular section, Section 3, which restricts federal benefits, or at least the definition of marriage for purposes of all federal laws. There are over 1,000 laws that are affected, to heterosexual couples. And the issue here is there is a woman whose lawfully married wife passed away, and she had to pay $360,000 of estate tax that she wouldn't have had the federal government recognized her marriage like heterosexual marriage. And so the issue is, can the government make that distinction? And it's not an issue of whether there's a different part of DOMA, Section 2, that says states don't have to recognize sister states' gay marriages. It's not that. This is purely about how the federal government treats different types of marriage.
So what's the big takeaway from the case? What were the arguments presented the justices tried to grapple with?
Today, like yesterday, about half of it was jurisdictional. There's an issue of what role the federal government is even playing here, because this administration decided after one lower court loss to stop defending DOMA in the courts. They're walking this tightrope of enforcing it as a matter of administrative law, the Social Security Administration, the IRS, et cetera, but not defending it in court. And the Supreme Court accepted the government's petition to review this case, and now they're questioning whether they should have done that. And also, the defenders of the law, because of course the government stopped defending it, is now the House of Representatives, the so-called bipartisan legal advisory group, which actually isn't bipartisan. They take a vote, and each vote is 3-2, Republicans to Democrats. Very weird procedural stuff going on here, but going to the issue of who can defend a law if these people aren't allowed to. Does the government just effectively get to declare a law unconstitutional but not by not defending it? I think here there's a far greater chance than in yesterday's Prop 8 argument that the court will reach the constitutional merits. We'll find that there's enough correct parties have enough standing or jurisdiction that we will get to the actual issues that that people care more about, with all due respect to civil procedure junkies. And on that second hour of is this proper or improper discrimination, there were a multitude of viewpoints coming from the justices. Justices Kagan and Sotomayor, for example, were very concerned at the motivation of the lawmakers in 1996 that passed DOMA. There are congressional reports talking about moral disapproval for homosexuality, for example. Can that be a lawful basis for a law? Chief Justice Roberts was concerned about the federalism angle and continually pressing the Solicitor General about, you know, what interest does the federal government have here? How can it, you know, not how do you draw the line between what the federal government does and what the state government does? And like in a lot of arguments, the Solicitor General was saying there's no federal issue here, essentially, you know, not wanting to cabin federal power in any way, bringing it back to equal protection, which is where most of the debate focused. And Justice Kennedy was agonizing, like Hamlet, as is his wont, of what to do here. He did that with jurisdiction as well, especially yesterday. And now he's thinking about, well, shouldn't we think of the children, all of the children of gay couples in these various states? But also he's concerned about the precedent that this might set. So I could see him striking down DOMA on federalism grounds, for example, where Roberts would go the other way on federalism grounds. Maybe some of the others wouldn't even find standing.
What is the case for striking down DOMA on federalism grounds?
The way that it's argued, and the strongest way that it's presented, is in a so-called federalism scholars brief that's been signed by some adjunct scholars and senior fellows of Cato, like Randy Barnett and Ilya Soman and John Adler. Of the Volokh conspiracy, and they're saying basically that the federal government, in defining marriage as they have, as between a man and a woman, are intruding on state sovereignty. It's properly within state regulatory authority to define marriage and otherwise legislate family law, and the federal government is intruding, that it has to simply take marriage as it comes in each particular state. Now, I don't buy that. Nicholas Quinn Rosenkrantz, another Cato adjunct senior fellow, Cato is very involved in these arguments, as you can see, went to bat at the Volokh conspiracy, among other places, saying how, well, of course, the federal government gets to define the terms in its statute. So the real issue here is whether that distinction, that restriction on marriage, is constitutional. The whole argument collapses back into the 14th Amendment Equal Protection Clause. And that's what Cato filed our brief about. So ultimately, yesterday's argument, there was a real reluctance, I think, by a majority of the court to even decide the issue. They don't want to strike down all state marriage laws. I could see that one, the Prop 8 case, Perry, being dismissed on standing grounds or as improvidently granted, digged, as the term is. Today, however, I think it's more likely than not they get past the jurisdictional issues. I could see the four more liberal justices voting to strike down DOMA on equal protection grounds, Kennedy voting to strike down DOMA on federalism grounds, and the other four either voting to uphold or having a jurisdictional issue. There would thereby be no controlling opinion as to the substance, but DOMA Section 3 would be struck down. It would be a curious result, but not unlikely.
Ilya Shapiro is a senior fellow in constitutional studies at the Cato Institute. You can read more of his work at cato.org.